अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः वंशाकल्पतरोभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरत्विषे गुरवे गौरचन्द्राय राधिकायै तदालये कृष्णाय कृष्णभक्ताय तद्भक्ताय नमो तवैवास्मि न जिमामि त्वया विना इति विघ्नाय राधे अङ्गनय माम चरणान्तिके. First of all, my millions of dandvat pranam. In the lotus feet of my spiritual guru, Nitya Lila Pravishtong Vishnu Pasis Madhbhakti Pragyan Keshav Goswami Maharaj. And same to my Siksha Guru, Nitya Lila Pravishtong Vishnu Pasis Madhbhakti Vedant Swami Maharaj. Our program festival is going on very nicely. No complaint. Delicious prasad distribution. Sweet and powerful Hari Katha. And so many Vaishnava Sannyasi. Today we are fortunate. The first sannyasi
and disciple
of Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj, Sri Kirtanananda Prabhu, is here. In his
physical condition.
Sannyas ceremony, I was there. And I used to take him to Delhi here and there to preach.
You met him when he came from the airport.
And only I received Swamiji with him
first time
when they landed to India from Western country first time. I was the first person. There are so many remembering things that I remember. Perhaps he is also remembering. He has served in so many ways to his Gurudev. Especially he made a golden temple in
New Vrindavan, West Virginia.
In Virginia. Very beautiful. I have gone there. He was a very strong preacher at that time. So I want that he should speak two words for devotees.
Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani and Namaste Shishu Bali Paraswati Alisa. I feel so fortunate to have the privilege of being here in the presence of all these wonderful Vaishnavas, and especially in the presence of Narayan Maharaj, who is very dear to me. He assisted Srila Prabhupada in my sannyas ceremony. Back in Bhagavad Gita. So I've always felt very close.
You met his danda in the sannyas. You met his danda in sannyas.
Yes.
And I simply beg the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas to be able to say a few words in pursuance of the mission of Lord Krishna, of the whole disciplinary succession down to Srila Prabhupada, and Narayan Maharaj is carrying this on very nicely. I have great admiration for him. I've read his books very thoroughly. I appreciate him very much.
He's reading all your books. Reading all your books, and he appreciates so much.
I'm also humbly trying to follow in the footsteps of these great acharyas to present the message of Lord Krishna. Surrender to me utterly. In a way that's understandable to people today. I've had inspiration, I think, to put this in a little easily understood formula of thanking Krishna for now as it is. There's no question of surrendering the past, it's gone. There's no question of surrendering the future, it may never come. One can only surrender now. And we surrender to now by being grateful for whatever it is. Because it has been sent by the all-good Krishnas, the Supreme Personality of God. Thank you, Krishna, for now as it is. But then there's a second part, which indicates our independence. Our free will. How do I use it in the best way for your service, Lord? Generally, most materialists, they try to seize the present moment and exploit it for their sense gratification. That's one way to use the present moment. That's the way of duality. The way of material life, of good and bad, of success and failure. But that's not the spiritual way. That's not the way of Krishna consciousness, which is the way of gratitude for the present moment as it is, whatever it is. It may look very bad to our senses, but we're not these senses, we're not this body. We're not this mind. Thank you, Krishna, for now as it is. How do I use it in the best way for your service? For your pleasure? For your purposes? If we do that, we're fulfilling the instruction Krishna gave Arjuna. O Arjuna, surrender to me utterly. By my grace, you will enjoy peaceful and victory. Peace, wealth, and victory don't come by hard work. They don't come by empiric speculation. They don't come by scientific research. They come by the grace of Krishna. And Krishna's grace automatically flows to the surrendered soul. Thank you, Krishna, for now as it is. How do I use it in the best way for your service? Hare Krishna.
God in the future or in the past. Now, and I am so grateful, Krishna, for that you have given me your grace that I can surrender.
Sadhu Maharaj, you speak two words. No. Stand up here and come.
আপনি বলে মাঝখানে বলতে এটা রেস্ট হয়ে যেত মানে Now, we are coming in sweet and powerful Srimad Bhagavatiya Katha, who have told about Narada Rishi and Vyas. How should we follow Gurudev and follow his teachings? Then, you know, Rishabhdev, he has 100 sons. Among them, Bharata was eldest, and he was Bhaktiman. In his half age, about 50,000 years, he left this world as his tool and came to forest to do bhajan of Krishna. And he, after long time, he came in bhav stage, rati stage, premanku. But due to attracted with a dear child, how he lost his three
lifetime.
And what are the teaching from his life? Shriman Prem Prayojan will tell us about this.
Om Gyanadhanasa Gyanaslaka Chakshuramritandena Tasmay Shri Gurayena. First of all, I think my sister and I have to spend a bit. My heart like flowers. Thousands of times the Lord's feet of Asadis and Radha is a good part of it. Secondly, I have my pranam, my Guru Prabhupada, and two of his several Vaishnavas. And thirdly, I offer my sincere apology at the Lotus Feet of Srila Guru Dev if I have caused any distress or disturbance. And also to all the Vaishnavas in our Srila Guru Dev's wonderful family and whole family. Srila Gurudev wanted me to elaborate upon the history of Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj heard teachings from his father, Chakra Chavatara Chandev. And so when he was 50,000 years old, halfway through his life, he realized the nature of the temporary world and left everything as if it was completely has no value, like stool. And he went to the forest to practice his meditation and devotion to Sri Krishna. So, actually, to Sri Narayana, in the form of Narayana. He was meditating in the forest, and then one day, as you know, a deer was drinking water in the river. And a lion came and roared, and the deer became afraid, and he feared trying to escape by jumping across the river. But that female deer dog was pregnant, and the baby deer in her womb came out and fell into the water. Then the mother deer, she managed to cross the river and come out on the other side. But she was afflicted by the intense trauma of the situation of losing her child and being scared by the ferocious animal. So at that moment, she was about to die from the shock, from the trauma. And as that doe was about to die, she looked, beautiful doe-like eyes, towards Bharat Maharaj. And by her eyes, she asked him, "Save my child," and now she died. Very pathetic. So Bharat, he immediately got up and he went to the river and took the baby out from the river. Now this deer is helpless. No mother, no one to feed the deer, take care of it. So he adopted the deer like his own child and was feeding the deer and protecting it always every day. And the deer began to grow and grow and grow. So as the deer was growing and growing, Bharat Maharaj, his attachment. Wherever we render service, attachment will come there. If we serve things in the material world, attachment will come. If we serve a person of the transcendental world, Srila Gurudev, our Guru Prabhupada, attachment will come and take us there. But he became attached to a deer in this case. And now, though outwardly he was doing sadhana, but really he was not doing sadhana. He was sitting and chanting his mantra. And the deer would come and rub his wet nose under his arm, and he would take the deer and take the deer in his lap. If the deer would not come, then he's not remembering mantra. He's just thinking, "Where's my baby deer?" So outwardly he was doing sadhana, but inside he was not doing sadhana, because now his mind had become attached. So one day, another deer came in a herd, and that deer left him and went away. Bharat Maharaj became like a mad person, wandering here and there, looking around, seeing the footprints of the deer in the sand. "Oh, what austerities did the earth planet perform to have the touch of my dear feet? By the touch of my dear feet, the world is purified and fit for the performance of sacrifice." He became completely mad, so much in love with this baby deer. Our acharyas commented that actually attachment was formed his son, but he'd given up, and again So he came back and he was transposed upon the deer, superposed upon the deer. So in this way, his life was passing and the time of death came. And at the time of death, instead of remembering his issue date, he remembered the deer. And then what happened? As Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita, Yam Yam Vapisvaram Bhavam Chadyati Antikarevaram. Whatever one thinks of at the time when he gives up the body, Tamatami Vaiti Kuntaya Siddhartha Bhav Bhavita. One will become like that. So he left his body and entered into the body of a deer. But because he had come into where? Bhavavasta, or Rati. He was very advanced. So even though he took birth as a deer, he was not like other animals. He had a remembrance of his previous life. So when he took birth as a deer, he thought, hey, whatever that, I've made a very big mistake. I've deviated from my spiritual life, and now I'm in the body of a deer. But in that life, he was determined, again I'll not become attached. So he did not live with the other deers, but he went away. And he returned to the place where sages, Kapilashram, where many sages were doing their meditation. And as a deer, he would go there and listen to their harikatha and associate with them. And he would not eat the fresh green grass. That's that big sense gratification for a deer. And he would only take the dry leaves that had fallen from the tree, and not the fresh leaves from the tree. And in this way, he passed his life as a deer, doing the best sadhana that a deer can do. Then, quickly that life was over, and again, he took birth. This time in a Brahmin family, and he was resolved to continue in his spiritual life without being entangled in social encumbrances. So instead of playing his role as a member of that family, he pretended to be deaf and dumb. So a deaf and dumb person is called Jad. So in his life we know him as Jad Bharat. So his father tried to teach him, please, if you pass through, and then afterwards you should wash your hands, but he would wash his hands first and then pass through. His father tried to initiate him into the Brahma Gayatri. Om. Repeat after me. Om. He could not repeat the mantra. He can, but he pretended that he was useless and could not do anything. So that time, his brothers, they thought he's a useless person, and they treated him. They ill-treated him, actually. When it was time for prasadam, then they would take all the rice, if any burnt grains were stuck to the bottom of the pan, they would scrape that off, and that was for him. They didn't give him any good things to eat. But he was happy, he was satisfied, because his mind was absorbing Krishna. Whatever was, he said thank you for Krishna for what was happening now as it is. As Pujapati Krishna Swami was just nice explaining to everyone. So, in this way, he was satisfied and absorbed in Krishna. So it happened that one night, his brothers had engaged him working in a field. And at night, he had to stay there and protect the field from any animals who came to eat the crops. So he was there, minding his own business. But at that time, there was a group of dacoits. And the dacoits, their philosophy was, if we make a human sacrifice to Goddess Kali, then all our acts of thievery will be successful and will not get caught. So they wanted to make an offering, a human sacrifice to Goddess Kali. And they caught someone, but on the way, he escaped. So at that time, the dacoits were looking around the person who had escaped, and they came across Jad Bharat in the field. And they thought, well, we've lost him, but he'll do. Because he seems like kind of person, no one will miss him. He's a social outcast. So they took Jad Bharat and they brought him back to their place of sacrifice. And the priest there who was going to do the sacrifice brought Jad Bharat. They fed him, bathed him, decorated him, gave him a garland and everything. And then the priest called him and told him to pay his obeisances on the chopping block. So he bowed down, and the priest took a large sword to cut off his head. Of course, he knew what was happening, but he was completely dependent upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead at every moment. Manasa deha deho jokishu mo tua apilu pade nanda kishu. whatever happens to my body, mind and words, everything I surrender at your lotus feet. So he bowed down, and at that moment when he was about to be killed, Goddess Kali could not tolerate. And she broke out from the statue with her associates and at once killed all those dakwas. And Jagbharat was saved. At that time, Goddess Kali, she said to Jagbharat, "Oh, you are a great devotee. You are a great Vaishnava. Why are you hiding yourself from the world? You are not giving benefit of your realization and everything to the people of the world. You are hiding yourself and cheating them all. Please, don't cheat them. Please help them." So then, it came to pass that after some time, there was a king. His name was Raghuvendra Maharaj. And he was very interested in Sadhu Sangha. So he was on his way to Kapila Ashram to associate with the sages there. And he was riding on a palanquin that was carried by so many palanquin bearers. But along the way, they needed some extra help carrying the palanquin. And the palanquin bearers were looking and, "Oh, this person seems very strong. He can help," and they enlisted him in carrying the palanquin. So when Jagbharat was carrying it, he was walking along, but he was looking very carefully that he should not step on any insects. He wanted to give respect to everyone, even to an ant. So he was very carefully stepping here and there, avoiding the ants, so he could not keep in step with the other carriers. In this way, the palanquin was shaking. And the king, he looked out from the side, "Hey, what are you doing? Carry the palanquin properly." They assured him, "Yes, we'll carry it correctly." Again, the Jagbharat was stepping here and there, and the palanquin was shaking. The king became angry. "What's going on? Carry the palanquin properly." And then they told him, "Your Majesty, we have this new bearer and he's not cooperating." So then the king, he chastised him. "Hey, who are you? What are you doing? I know that you cannot carry the palanquin very well because you've been carrying it for so far. Actually, you've just been enlisted a few minutes before. You carried it so far, maybe you're tired. Because you're not very strong, you look rather lean and thin." That part was really well, strong and well built. And with sarcastic words, the king was chastising him. He said, "Look, I am the king, you are my subject. You should obey me. If you disobey me, I'll punish you." So at that time, Jagbharat, he spoke to the king. He said to the king, "Actually, what you have said is true. I have not been carrying this palanquin because I am not this physical body. The activities of the physical body are not the activities of the self. I am not fat or thin or weak or strong because I am not this physical body. Only now, for a short time, I am in this physical body and you are in the physical body of the king. And you have the ego that you are the king. And you have the ego that I am your subject. So if you think that this is true, then by all means, punish me." When the king heard this, he was astonished. He was astonished. And he came down to the palanquin and gave Dandavat Pranam at the lotus feet of Jagbharat. He said, "Who are you? Are you Kapilavanes? Are you Navi Antariksha or Buddha Kibalayan? Any of the Navi Yogendras? Or are you Narad? Who are you?" So then Jagbharat said, "Do you remember in your dynasty, in a previous time, there was a king called Bharat Maharaj?" He said, "Yes, very, very personality. And while he was dying, he left everything and went to the forest." Then Jagbharat said, "Oh, I am that very king, Bharat." So the king was amazed. Here again, the Jagbharat, he began to tell his own life history to Raghuvendra Maharaj. Just as we heard yesterday, Narabhishi explained his life history to Vyasadeva. Gokumar explained his life history to Mathu Brahman. Because when the guru explains his life history to the disciple, it makes their sadhana very strong. So he explained, "I was a king, I left everything, but I became attached to a deer. Then I took birth as a deer. And now I took birth in a Brahmin family, and I am hiding my position." So the king posed many questions to Bharat Maharaj about Atma Tatma, the soul and the body, and how to become free from this world and attain love of God. And in the end, then Bharat instructed him, Ruhuvinaita Saprasada Jayati, Na Shaya Nirvapana Priyadva, Na Sanasa Nana Jalaki Surya, Vina Mahatmara Jogi Shaitam. Because the king was confused. You have explained Atma Tattva and these things to me, but I can't properly understand. So Bharat Maharaj gave the conclusion. It is not by austerities, it is not by study of the Vedas, it is not by the performance of sacrifice, it is not by observing one's various duties, worldly duties, etc., that one can understand the absolute truth. There's only one way a person can understand the truth. What is that? One has to take abhishek, completely shower oneself in the foot dust of a Mahabhagavat Vaishnava, in the foot dust of a pure devotee. So surrender oneself there and pray. O Gurudev, O Vaishnava Thakur, sprinkle your mercy that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lotus Feet, may appear within my mouth. So this is the history of Bharat Maharaj, and there are some very important teachings in it for us. First of all, when Bharat Maharaj became attached, he did not have to go down, but he did not take sadhu sangha. He did not go to any very advanced Vaishnava, take shelter there and be saved. So here, first teaching, if one is becoming attached, already, actually, we are already attached. Now so many attached. Bharat Maharaj was attached to one deer. But in our lives, how many deers are there? How many herds of deers? So, and by attachment to one deer, three lives go by. But if we would have so many attachments, how many lives will go by? Hundreds and thousands of lives. So first teaching, to take shelter of Vaishnava. Secondly, in an inverse way, Bharat Maharaj gave the teaching, Yam Yam Bhaktisparan Bhavam. Whatever one remembers at the time of death, he will become like that. Therefore, our Guru Varga gave the teaching, Krishnam Saram Janam Tasya Prashta Nija Sanahitam. That one should always remember Krishna, but not alone, along with his associates. And being absorbed in following the footsteps of those associates, and always remembering, I am in Vrindavan. Then, at the time of death, just as Jagat Bharat accidentally became a deer, very easily, it was not a point of effort, his memory took him there. So those who are absorbed in remembering Krishna and his associates in his life, easily at the time of death, then mercy will come, and one will become not a deer, but an associate of Radha and Krishna, an associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Goloka Vrindavan. So, in this way, there are so many teachings. Now, I hope that you can hear from the lotus lips of Srila Gurudev explaining all these things. Thank you.
There are so many teachings in Bharat life. First, he realized in his half age, that is 50,000 years, world is illusory, no real happiness. We should not waste time. At once we should search any bona fide guru and begin Hari Bhajan. So he left his house.
Kingdom, queen.
He was king of Bharat, Bharatvarsha, very big. But he left. No attachment. He left the attachment of his wife, children, and kingdom, everything. He went to forest. And he was doing well bhajan. But he was very attached to a deer, as you heard. He was so attached that when the deer mixed in his group and ran away in forest with all deers, he became like mad, totally was remembering where he is, what will be, perhaps any tiger or any
lion
can eat him.
and thinking in the night, day came, and he was remembering that deer. And he became in next life deer. What is the purpose? If Bharat Maharaj, at the date time, he is remembering deer, he became deer. So if we will remember Krishna
and his associate
and our Swajatiya Asaya Snigdha, any Brajavasi like Gopi, Rup Manjari, you are chanting at that time, you are thinking, remembering, oh, we must be Gopi. Must be Gopi. If Bharat Maharaj became by remembering at the time of death and he became deer, why not others? So our Goswamis, especially Rup Goswami, has given Ashtakadiya Leela Chintan. So that in whole life, if he will remember, then at the time of death, it may be that it will come and you will be that Gopi in the guidance of Sri Rup Manjari. So, what we are doing now, earning money, mostly our life is going invested in that thing. But what money will do? Will it give peace of life? Happiness of life? Nothing. Nothing. So, if Bharat was attached to deer and he became deer, if anyone is attached to any girlfriend, what will be? He must be any lady next time. And he will be attached to others. So we should take lesson that as he left whole world, all attachment, all worldly desire, and went. But still, he was attached to that dear child. Because he had attended bhav, rati, premanku. So only three life lost. But what to us? All kinds of anartha are there. Even nishtha has not come. Ruchi has not come. Who will save us? If anyone, as he told the slope, Rahu ganai tattaprasana jati na jaichya nirvapanad grihatva
na chandasa naiva jalagni surjai vina
mahatpad rajobhise kam mahat guru dev mahat rupa goswami and others
guru parampara.
If they are our saver, we think, I cannot save myself. So my guru dev will save us. Vaishnava will save us. Then we can be protected. Otherwise, our life will be ruined. It has been told, those who want Krishna Prem, Bhagavat Prem, Param, Param,
Jigimisa
Bhavasagarasya,
Darsanamatha Visayanam, Jasitancha, Ha Hanta Hanta Visbhakta
Bhakkhano Api Asadhu. Remember always this. Those who want to have Krishna Prem, anyone cannot say, Mahat Padar Jobhisekam. So, the attachment to ladies and ladies attachment to
male,
both are same. Be careful. You in married life, okay, go on doing with your husband, family, also doing bhajan. But if you are brahmachari, sannyasi, be very careful. Otherwise, in a moment, Maya will come and
grab you,
eat you. So we should remember, still there is time. What we have done, mistake, we should try to correct. Because when death he will come, when he will come, we don't know. In a moment he can come. So there are so many teachings in Bharat Maharaj. So we should try to. What was favorable for Bharat? He was doing. What was not favorable? He used to reject very strongly. We should try to do like that. Now, Prahlad Maharaj Charit. You know Prahlad Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Thakur. He has read Prahlad Charitra 108 times. He was Bhakta. He was Bhakta. All should follow Haridas Prahlad Maharaj. Very tolerance. Tinadapi suni chena tarurapi sahisununa amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. If you want to be Vaishnava, you will have to follow the life of Prahlad Maharaj. Shriman, what?
Damodar.
Damodar, you should begin. You should try to listen very carefully and to follow. Don't be attached to anyone. Attachment to Krishna. Attachment to Radha Krishna and Mahaprabhu.
Om Gyan Dhanam Dasyakanam Dhanasvakya Chakshuranam Ritam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruvai Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Vaikuntha Prasthi Vasati Yoga Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. First of all, I offer my millions of Dhanavad Pranams, Lord Spirit of Guru Pada Padma, Vishnu Pada, Sishima Bhaktivedanta, Narayan Goswami Maharaj, the Lord Spirit of my Shiksha Gurus, also present Chaitanya Vaishnavas, Vaishnavis, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming. It's a great good fortune we get the chance to hear of the glories of
Guru
Pada. The teachings of Sri Prahlad Maharaj are like a column, like a very strong foundation by which we can make a very high palace of seva to Sri Radha and Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj's instructions are like a bath of cool water from the mind. If we can follow just one drop of the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj, then our bhajan can be completely successful. Sri Prahlad Maharaj taught that even despite achieving perfection, many, many obstacles may be there in spiritual life, but we should not leave our bhajan. We should not pray to Krishna for the removal of miseries, because miseries are there even in the lives of perfected souls, like the Pandavas. Despite the presence of many, many obstacles, many, many difficulties, great devotees like Prahlad Maharaj and the Pandavas and the Gopis never gave up their Hari Bhajan. We can learn this from the teachings of Sri Prahlad Maharaj. Sri Prahlad Maharaj's father was an incarnation of Vijay. He took birth as Hiranyakasipu. So he was a very great demon. Even though he had many good qualities, he was against the service of Sri Vishnu. Therefore, all these good qualities are about as useful as an ornament upon a dead body. A Pranasya Dehasya, look at Eva Ranjana. Hiranyakasipu performed austerities to please Lord Brahma. Hiranyakasipu had a desire to become immortal. Therefore, after such austerities, he was standing on his toes with his hands in the air. All his body had been eaten by termites, and he had become covered by the dirt of the termites. And one fire was coming from his head. Lord Rama came and said, I have never seen anyone perform austerities like you. What benediction you want? That time Hiranyakasipu Maharaj said, Ramaji, you are like Bhagawan. Please give me the benediction of immortality. The Because Lord Brahma said, son, I don't have that in me, then how are I going to give it to you? Take another benediction. So Rani Kasipu took many benedictions in one breath. I should not be killed in the daytime, should not be killed in the nighttime, I should not be killed on the ground, should not be killed in the air, should not be killed inside, should not be killed outside, should not be killed by anything living or dead, should not be killed by any weapon, should not be killed in 12 months of the year. So, Hirani Kasipu, his wife Kayadu, he had three sons, the youngest of which was Prahlad Maharaj. See, Prahlad Maharaj, when Hirani Kasipu was performing austerities in the higher planets, that time the demigods came and captured Kayadu, who was pregnant with Prahlad Maharaj in the womb. They thought this is the seed of a big demon. Therefore, we can cut the nip. Nip it in the bud. Then we'll save ourselves a lot of trouble. They went and killed Prahlad in the womb. That time, Sinara Muni came. Guru Maharaj said, "Who will protect us? Only the Vaishnavas will protect us." Nara Muni said to Indradev, "Don't kill him. He is not a demon. He is a great bhakti of Lord Narayan." Therefore, Nara Muni took the wife of Hirani Kasipu to his ashram, and there for 60,000 years he spoke Harikatha to the wife of Hirani Kasipu, and Prahlad Maharaj, even as a baby in the womb, for 60,000 years he got a chance to hear instructions on the service of Krishna from a pure devotee. Therefore, when he was born like Prahlad Maharaj, pure devotee. Like any father, Hirani Kasipu wanted a good education for his son. Therefore, he sent him to Gurukul. These days, our Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj said, our education system is like a slaughterhouse, because not teaching anything, only ignorance. No knowledge of the soul, nothing about what is eternal, nothing of any value. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj, even though he went to Gurukul, and hearing the materialistic instructions of his son and Amarka, Prahlad Maharaj never paid any attention. He cheated them. And when he came back from holidays, his father, out of great affection, took young Prahlaji on his lap, and with his heart melting actually, and smelling the head of Prahlad Maharaj and tears from his eyes, he asked, "My dear son, what was the best thing that you learned in Gurukul?" So see, Prahlad Maharaj taught us, if we want to give instruction on Harikatha, we must be nirapesh, completely without any self-interest. Prahlad Maharaj spoke the truth to his father, even though that truth was a little bit unpalatable for him. If you think I should flatter my audience, then I can get a nice donation, I can get this or that, this is a wrong teaching. Srila Saraswati Thakur said, if we flatter the audience just for our own benefit, we'll become atheists and derail from the Vedic path. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj, very politely, but very directly, he said to his father, "Tat sadhu mande asujavadade hinam savikisamatvya diya asakriha pipatva patam vriyanam dukupam. Very politely but very cleverly, Prahlad Maharaj said, "Oh, best of the demons." And Rani Kasipu was very happy. "Oh, best of the demons. The best thing that I learned was that this deep, dark well called family life is full of suffering. And the persons in that well, because of accepting what is temporary, and always meditating upon what is temporary, their lives are full of suffering. If we meditate and develop something, if we develop attachment for something which is temporary, then either we must be separated from that, or that object will be separated from us. Therefore, we'll feel so much anxiety and suffering." That the Prahlad Maharaj said, "One who has fallen into this dark world called materialistic life, especially family life, his life was full of suffering because he's always meditating on that which is temporary. Therefore, one should leave everything and take shelter of the forest." That means one must leave household life and take shelter in Vrindavan, especially Yadam Harimasriyata. And then one can take shelter of the Supreme Lord. Guru Maharaj explains really nicely what is called that dark, deep well. Imagine someone is being chased by a tiger and he's running. And he sees a very nice patch of grass, he goes to step on it and he falls in. This is like Guru Maharaj saying, the affection we have for the opposite sex. Like a dry well is covered by grass, it looks nice and soft, but when you step on it, Therefore, that man, he fell down the dry well, and after his falling, he reached and grasped onto one branch. Then the tiger was looking down, roaring. The man was afraid. He looked down and saw there were many snakes hissing, waiting for him to fall, to finish. That time he was hanging on the branch, what to do, where to go? But the good times were only beginning. Two rats, one black rat and one white rat, were chewing on the branch. And also above there was one bee's nest. And because he was shaking the bee's nest, hundreds of bees were stinging him in all parts of his body. So he was crying, but he could not go down, could not go up. But in the middle of such a terrible situation, because of the shaking of the branch, some honey was coming at him. Some honey was falling on his tongue. And he was thinking, nectar. So Prahlada Maharaj said, this is called material life. Guruji explains, we are just like that. Death is all around us. Like Bharat Maharaj, he completely forgot about his death, but death never forgot about Bharat Maharaj. He says, when we are born, death is born with us. Therefore, our situation is just like that. We are forgetting at any moment we can die.
What are rats and others?
That branch, that is one's lifespan. And that has been chewed by a black rat and a white rat. I mean, day and night. Day and night. Time is taking away our lifespan. In the 11th canon of Bhagavatam, the Navayogendra says, what is knowledge? Knowledge means to see everything in this universe is in a snake, in the mouth of a snake called time. Everything will be destroyed. That vision is called knowledge. So, down with the snakes means death. Up with death. Our lifespan is being taken day and night by the rats and the bees biting us, and the millions of miseries we experience. The taxman, the policeman, the next door neighbors, the children, all biting. In the middle of such a terrible situation, that's when some drop of honey comes, and from that we forget everything. That drop of honey is a momentary satisfaction we feel in sex happiness. That 5 minutes of happiness results unlimited suffering. Well, Guru Maharaj said, we suffer day and night, and we come home, and what happens? The children run up, oh, Baba, how was the day? So because of that little bit of happiness we experience, we are so much foolish, we forget our precarious situation in this world, and unlimited suffering. Therefore, Prahlada Maharaj said, Father, you should leave this miserable family life and take shelter in Vrindavan, the shelter of Sri Hari, that means Sri Krishna. And maybe your own country became, he didn't take it seriously. Ha, he said, thus the king's intelligence is spoiled by the enemy. Because small words coming from a small boy, Hari Kasabu didn't take it that much seriously. He just laughed. So, that time he returned him to the Gurukul. That time the teachers, Sanda and Amarika. Sanda means darkness. Amarika means?
Darkness.
Sanda is a bull. Because a bull is very foolish. Even though he eats so much and he's so strong, as soon as he sees a cow, he loses all his intelligence and runs behind it. And Guru Maharaj said, when they pass stool, it's like a jet stream. So they have so much, they have no intelligence at all. Therefore, and the other guru, he was even worse off. He's called Amarika, that means darkness. Because even though he had so much so-called knowledge in the scripture, he could not see the soul or the Supreme Lord Krishna, therefore he was completely blind. So the teachers asked, oh Prahlad, how do you learn such knowledge? How do you develop attraction to this Vishnu? We never taught you anything like that. That time Prahlada Maharaj said, I cannot explain, but just like a magnet is attracted to iron, in the same way my mind is spontaneously attracted to the pastimes of Sri Hari. So Prahlada Maharaj went back to school. He pretended to learn, but he never really took the materialistic instructions of his teachers to his heart. Only he cheated them externally. Next time when he came back to his father gave him another chance. Oh, my dear boy, tell me, what was a nice thing you learned in school? That time Prahlada Maharaj said, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Vadasevanam, Achanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanavedanam, এটি পুরুষাধিকারিষ্ণু বাক্তিশ্চন্দ্র বলক্ষণ কৃতি ভগতি আদা মানে আর্থা উঠমান. How people want to serve God and they don't know how. If we want to serve Krishna, we should serve Him in the correct way. For example, if I ask someone, or Guru Maharaj asks someone, can I have orange juice? And someone brings a beer. Is it not fulfilling the desire of the person who should be served? Therefore, it cannot be called service. Therefore, independent efforts to serve God without direction of the saint and the scriptures is useless. Therefore, how to serve God? Krishna. There are 9 ways. Shravanam, hearing. Shravanam, kirtanam, chanting the holy name and repeating the instructions we've heard from the scriptures and the Guru. Vishnu smaranam, always thinking of the Lord. Padasevanam, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, or using our feet in the service of the Lord by doing tours, karikams of the holy places. Archanam, worshipping the Lord in the temple. Vandanam, offering prayers. Dasyam, becoming the servant of Krishna. Sakyam, becoming the friend of Krishna. And Atman and Vedanam. So these are called Manavida Bhakti, 9 ways to serve Krishna. But there's a catch. Iti Punsapita Vishnu Bhaktishana Lakshana. One must apita, one means one must completely offer oneself to who? Vishnu. Vishnu in Sanskrit is plural. One must offer oneself to the 2 gods. And one may become astonished. How do you do 2 gods? I thought there was only 1. Then they'll be fighting amongst each other. Therefore, there are 2 forms of the Supreme Lord in this world. One is, of course, Krishna himself, Visaya Vigraha, the Supreme Lord as the enjoyer. And the other form of the Supreme Lord in this world is called Asra Bhagavan, Seva Bhagavan, or the pure devotee. Therefore, one name again for the spiritual master is Vishnupad. He is called Vishnupad because he is the direct manifestation of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord in this world. You cannot go to Krishna directly. One should go to the feet of Krishna in this world, which is Guru Pada Padma. Under the guidance and taking shelter of the spiritual master, one should perform these 9 types of seva towards the Supreme Lord Krishna. Prahlada Maharaj said, this is called knowledge. Nothing else can be called knowledge. Then he gave, Prahlada Maharaj gave more instructions.
After hearing these, Hiranyakashipu ordered to kill him, but he could not. Then, by the advice of Sandamarkhi, again Prahlad Maharaj was sent to school. Thank you. After that, what Prahlad Maharaj told. Matir na Krishna Pratosatam.
Ovajati Ranvasya Dhyananjana Shavakara Chakshuru Vritam Yena Tasmai Sri Surayama. So Sri Prahlad Maharaj, he had declared to his father what the topmost activity for the human being is, and that is to do pure bhakti, navavidha bhakti, perform the 9 limbs of bhakti to Sri Vishnu. And when Hiranyakashipu heard this suggestion from Prahlad Maharaj, he became very, very infuriated. Because Hiranyakashipu was the greatest, most powerful, demoniac, materialistic person in the entire universe. And his whole goal of life was to enjoy sense gratification. And he wanted that his son will also come in his dynasty and be the same materialistic, fruitive worker, with no other goal than to eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die. So Hiranyakashipu, when he understood that his son had now been completely contaminated, as he thought, by this bogus conception that we should worship Vishnu. Who was Vishnu to Hiranyakashipu? Vishnu was his greatest enemy. Materialistic persons, they consider that God is their greatest enemy. Why? Because they think they are all powerful and they will conquer death, as Hiranyakashipu also thought. We heard in the beginning of the narration that he wanted to become immortal. And in Hiranyakashipu's case, his own brother, Hiranyaksha, had been killed by Vishnu. And now, his son, his little son, is suggesting to him that he should also perform bhakti to Vishnu. So he became very infuriated. And in so many ways, he tried to kill Prahlad Maharaj.
This material Krishna came before this, you know.
So, as he was expressing his dissatisfaction to Prahlad Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj continued to explain his position to his father, and he also tried to enlighten his father. He tried to explain to him, my dear king of the demons, Matirna Krishna Paratak Sotova Mikro Vipadyeta Griha Vritanam Adanta Gopir Vishatam Tamishram Punak Punak Charvita Charvananam. Matirna Krishna Paratak Sotova. Oh, if a person is determined in this world that he will be a gross materialistic sense enjoyer, then it is never possible for that person to become Krishna conscious. Matir na Krishne, paratak satova. Neither by good instructions from others, neither by his own endeavors, neither by having joint conferences and discussing the subject matter, it is not possible for such a person. Because adam to gopir, vishatam to mishram. His senses are uncontrolled. Adam to gopir. And therefore, Vishatam Tamishram, he's descending down to the lowest position in this material world, he's going to hellish suffering. Punak Punak Charvita Charvananam. Again and again, he is attempting to enjoy this material happiness, which is simply like chewing something that has already been chewed and rejected, and again you put it in your mouth and you try to chew it. So Prahlad Maharaj told this to his father, and he told him that the materialistic persons in this world, they don't know what actually is their real svartagati, their self-interest. Nate dhu svartagatim vi vishnum durashaya ye papirartamanina te pishatvanva unutamni bhadha. He said that the materialistic persons, they don't know that their ultimate svartagati, self-interest of their soul, is to worship Vishnu, to surrender to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Durashaya ye bahirartamanina. And because they do not understand this fact, they're always situated trying to enjoy this world with great hope. Durashaya. They have this hope that someday I will be able to successfully enjoy in this world. But it is always defeated. And their whole existence is completely bound by these material desires, as if their very hands and arms and legs are being bound by the ropes of the material nature. So how can such a materialistic person in such a predicament escape from this? It is only possible in one way, Prahlad Maharaj told his father. He said, Naisham Matisthavut Urukramangrim Spritchartanarto Upagamam Yadarta Mahiyasam Padarjo Vishekam Nishkinchananam Nabrinita Yavat. Oh, my dear father, if anyone wants to become free from all these anarthas, all these contaminations of materialistic tendencies and desires in this world, there is only one way. Mahiyasam padarajo abhishekam. He must take abhishek. He must bathe himself in the padaraja, in the dust from the lotus feet of the pure devotee, nishkinchananam, who has no material desires or attachments in this world and is completely surrendered to the Supreme Lord. When Hiranyakashipu heard this suggestion from Prahlad Maharaj, his eyebrows began to be furled very tightly in a very angry expression. And now he came to his conclusion. He said, just as when a limb of the body becomes diseased, and it's going to threaten the health of the rest of the body, then that limb must be cut off. Now I can understand that this person, this very low-class person, he has become my enemy. He has become contaminated by this enemy, the Vaishnavas, somehow or other. They have contaminated this person. So therefore, I must remove him. I must eliminate him. And Hiranyakashipu, now he gave instructions to his servants that you should take this person, this rascal, and you should try to inflict all kinds of weapons and punishment upon him and do away with him for good. So they took him away, and they tried many different methods. First of all, they tried to kill him and cut him with swords and sharp knives and weapons, tried to pierce his body. But Sri Prahlad Maharaj, he was a completely surrendered soul. He was completely 100% Sharanagata to the lotus feet of Krishna. And therefore he simply folded his hands and prayed to Krishna, and he was completely peaceful and happy that he was under the loving protection of Krishna. And in that condition, these weapons and everything could not even touch his body at all. They tried then to take Prahlad Maharaj and throw him underneath the feet of an elephant and have him crushed. But when they put him there, Krishna protected him, and he inspired the elephant that he should not step on him, and nothing resulted from that. They took Prahlad, they tried to put him in a pit of snakes, poisonous snakes. And when they put him in there, all the snakes, they did not even try to bite him. Then they took Prahlad and took him up to a huge mountain cliff, and they tried to hurl him off of this mountain cliff. And Prahlad Maharaj sailed down from the top of the mountain, and he landed very safely on the ground, nothing, no injury. Then they even tried to give him poison, forcing him to drink poison. Prahlad Maharaj very willingly accepted, and he drank the poison, no result. Now, after trying every conceivable method, Hiranyakashipu, he became a little bit worried. He began to think, what is this? What kind of power does this so-called son of mine have? There is nothing I can do. He started to become quite depressed, quite frustrated. And then his teachers, Shunda and Amarga, they assured him, they told him, oh, our dear king, please, you know, don't worry about the current situation. I'm sure your son is just young, and right now he may be in this mentality, but we think that in course of time, this will pass, and then he will become normal again. So better that we should take him again, and we should try to instruct him. So then Hiranyakashipu, he again agreed, and the two teachers, they brought Prahlad Maharaj to the school where the other sons of the demons, of the demoniac dynasties, they were all in the same school with Prahlad Maharaj. So now Prahlad Maharaj was again going to the school, and the teachers were attempting to teach all the materialistic subject matters that, that a sense enjoyer must know in this world in order to attain what they consider perfection, simply giving satisfaction to the gross material body. So they taught so many different subjects for some time, and then one day, the teachers had to go out of the room for some reason, and then the children were in the room alone. And at that time, when the teacher went out of the room, naturally what the children usually do? Well, the cats away the mice will play. So now they wanted to play games, and they wanted to be frivolous and to enjoy and all of this. But they noticed that Prahlad Maharaj was not interested. Oh, come on, Prahlad, Prahlad, play with us, play with us. And then Prahlad Maharaj, he told them, he began to instruct them, that, my dear classmates, this is not the purpose of life. You know that all of us, we are very young right now, only 5 years old, but how long do we actually have to live in this life? You think that you have a very long period of time, 100 years, to live, perhaps? But out of that 100 years, already you're going to spend 50 of them sleeping, wasting the entire half of your life. And then out of that other half, 50 years, you're going to spend 10 years in your frivolous childhood. And then you're going to spend another 10 years doing some kind of study so that you can have an occupation. And then another 10 years of your life will be spent at the end of your life in old age, where your body is racked with pains and problems and diseases, and you cannot do proper bhajan. So, actually, how much time do you really have in this human form of life? Maybe you have 10 or 20 years in which you can do bhajan. So, therefore, komaram acharit pragya dharman bhagavatam iha durlabhav manusam janma tadapyap artadam. That this human form of life is durlabha janma. It is very rare to attain this human form of life after millions and millions of lifetimes in this material world, wandering from one species to another, finally attaining the human form. It is not to be wasted. Therefore, from the time of Komara, 5 years old, you must begin this process. Don't waste any time. Komara acharit pragya dharma bhagavataniha. Bhagavat dharma. Service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead must begin now. Otherwise, your human life may be wasted. And in this way, Prahlad Maharaj began to instruct his friends. And they wondered, Prahlad, how do you know all this wonderful knowledge?
Thank you. Very good.
So, all of you are listening. The life history and teachings of Prahlad Maharaj. And the demonic friend of Prahlad Maharaj asked Prahlad, "Oh Prahlad, from where have you learned all this thing? Our teacher, Sandra Namaka, never taught all these things. Only they taught us, oh, our ultimate goal is to make money. Money is money, brighter than sunshine, better than sweet honey.
Sweeter than honey.
If you have the money, then your life will be funny. So you have learned all these things. From where you learn all these things? After do bhajan. Then Prahlad Maharaj told his, the life history of his mother. When he was in the womb of his mother, and he learned everything. Being the womb of his mother, that's how of Narada Rishi. Then the demonic friend asked, "Oh Prahlad Maharaj, oh Prahlad, can you teach us how we can do bhajan? What is the simplest method to do bhajan? You are in your mother's womb 60,000 years. Not possible for us to do so much austerity. Please tell us the simple way. What is the simple way?" Then Prahlad Maharaj replied, Guru Sushru Saya Bhakta Sarvala Bharpaneya Cha Sangya Sadhu Bhakta Na Nishara Radhaneya Cha. Prahlad Maharaj told, please listen carefully. Guru Sushru Saya Bhakta, you have to serve your Gurudev how? With great devotion. If you have not served your Gurudev with great devotion, then not possible at all. Just as before you heard from Sripad Damodar Maharaj, there are two Bhagavan, one Asya Bhagavan, another Vishaya Bhagavan. Although our ultimate goal to serve Vishaya Bhagavan, but there is one condition, what? Have to go through proper channel, have to be initiated by a bona fide Gurudev. So Guru Sushru Saya Bhakta. Later on, in this Kali Yuga, our Srila Dasa Sai Bhaktol, in Manasiksha, Guru Vasya Dasara Isu. In this work, he first also narrated about Guru's name, not to Krishna first. So every year, about Guru. Guru must be bona fide Guru. So Guru Sushru Saya Bhakta, moreover, sarva labhar panena cha. Whatever you gain, have to offer to Gurudev. Now I think, oh, if I offer to Gurudev, then how I can maintain my life? So, what to do? Prabhupada said, no, we must have to offer what we have. mind possess this body and mind and related to body and mind. So our asatva soul, manasa deha deha jo kichu mod orpilu tua pade nanda kishor. Oh nanda kishor, which is possessed by mind, by body, by mind, everything I offer to you. Then what will be the result? Daimamo dharatua upadabharane. If you do so, if you surrender completely the lotus feet of Srila Gurudev, then you have no more responsibility. Then Krishna will be bound to bestow his mercy. The mention is scriptures in Adi Puran that if you serve Krishna direct, siddhi bhavati vāneti samsara achyuta sevinam nisham sarasita bhakta paricharya ratatmanam. If you serve Krishna direct, you may get perfection or not. There is a lot of doubt. But if you serve his great devotee, Guru Parapadma, then perfection under your hand, not inside your palm. None can check this. So Guru Sutsu Saya Bhakta Sarvalabhar Panina Cha. Moreover, Sangena Sadhu Bhakta Nam Ishtarara Panina Cha. How you can understand? Is he bona fide Guru or not? Then what to do? You must have to go to Vaishnavas. Vaishnava will tell you he is bona fide Guru or not. Because it mentioned in scriptures, before initiation, Guru will examine his disciple for 1 year, and disciple also examines his Guru 1 year. Guru can examine his disciple in a moment, but for disciple, not possible to judge his Guru perfect or not. How to do? Have to go to top channel, have to go to Vaishnavas. So, Sangina Sadhu Bhaktanam, Vaishnava will tell you that he is bona fide Guru or not. What is the symptom of bona fide Guru then? While he is offered to him, Tasmat Guru Prapadeta, Jigdansu Sriyattamam, Sabde Parikalishnatam, Brahman Pasamasrayam. Who is bona fide Guru then? There is two symptoms. One primary symptom and the secondary symptom. To very hard to understand the primary symptom. For the secondary symptom, Sabde Parikalishnatam, he must be qualified Sabdeva Nishnatam, must be qualified all scriptures. If devotee has doubt, he can plus out by quoted from scripture. Or you can contact me, I will reply to this one. Not like this. He has questioned, devotee has questioned disciple, Guru Bhagavan can immediately remove the doubt. And Brahma Rupa Samasaram, and must be detached from material world. This material world may be male or female, both are hankering for different ways. For male, they are hankering for 3 W, woman, wealth and wine. And female, opposite. Men, marijuana
even
and wine.
Sure. This is true.
Who like this is the bona fide Guru.
He must tell this is true.
So, and finally, Parisha Nishnatam, he must be a realized soul. Since sitting with us, what is he, how can understand? In Guru Gati Krishna Nandaya Bhimani, being with us, same time is Sarvi Sichaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna Nandaya means Sri Krishna Chaitanya, same time Sarvi Sri Krishna, and same time Sri Krishna Krishna Patanandaya Krishna Nandaya. Same time serving them, then how disciple can judge Guna by Guru or not? So you have to go Vaishnavas. Sangya Sadhu Bhaktanam Ishtarara Dhaniyasa. Then we Prabha Ishtarara Dhana Prabha Bhajan. Hearing this, all his friends become influenced and they start Kirtan. When they are doing Kirtan, all this sound vibration of the Kirtan went to Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu became very curious. Oh, what is going on? He came from his own palace and came to Gurukul. And suddenly Hiranyakashipu, Sandaramaka, what is going on? Not just here. Sandaramaka told, oh Maharaj, we could not say Prahlad. He's, while himself and for the whole our school boys. Then he said, oh Prahlad, from where are you getting this power? Prahlad come and quite replied, oh my dear father, from where are you getting your power? I am getting from same source. Why is it Bhagavan? Why is he telling this to Vishnu? For Lama replied, everywhere. Hell is not, no hell, that there is no place that has this Vishnu there. He is always hiding. Where is he? In his pillar? In his ear? Yes, Peter? Yes, Father, he is here, there, everywhere. Then how I cannot see him? Natural Lama told, Andha Pita Sujata Nahi Hamme Tumme Khamba Khadaka Me Janisana Tariram. Oh, my dear father, you are spiritually blind, so you could not find him. So, what you see about here and there is inside you, inside me, inside this pillar, even inside your throat, everywhere. Really? Okay. Then he, when he saw it, hit the pillar. Immediately on, Rory Song came.
Please ask any other benediction. And Prabhupada Maharaj told,
Oh Prabhu, if you want to give reality to the meditation, I want only one meditation. So who are you people? Being in this material world, forget it completely. They suffer in so many ways. I want to take the sufferings, and I want to suffer life after life after life. And if I do any sukriti or good thing for you, please deliver me from this world. Krishna said, oh Prahlad, you are winner, I am loser. I could not defeat you. But it is not possible. But yes, I am giving this benediction. Whoever discusses dialogue between yourself and myself, they must be delivered from this world, there is no doubt. By this way, Prahlad Maharaj gave his benediction. So our Parappa Gurudev, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Thakur Prabhupada, he read this and gave class more than 108 times. Why? Because Nishwada gave his benediction. So, as in the beginning of class, Srila Gurudev has quoted this also. So we have to follow Prahlad Maharaj, before I say Prahlad Maharaj, then we can advance into Krishna consciousness. Gradually. The Sanatana Goswami Pad has given an example in the Bhagavatam. Jani Bhakta Prahlad Maharaj, after the Suddha Bhakta Ambarish Maharaj, after that Prem Bhakta Hanumanji, after that Premadu Bhakta, Prempar Bhakta Pandavas, and Premadu Bhakta Uddhavas, and Uddhava is praying to Braj Gopis, Atha Mochara and Nishar Mochara. And one that is desired to come to Sat Gopis under the guidance of Rupa Prabhu.
Thank you.
And just Hare Krishna. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare
Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Bhav. Srila Gurudev has asked me to make an announcement about book distribution. Srila Gurudev has once said, actually he said many times in Florida and around the world, that my life is writing. This is what Gurudev is dedicating the rest of his life to writing, to present the message of our Guru Varga, the message that is presented in these books that we have printed. We have printed thousands and thousands of books, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Bindu, Jaya Dharma, many booklets, Gaudiya Gita Gooch, Way of Love, Secret Truth of the Undiscovered Self, Beyond Liberation, books that we could share with our friends, co-workers, Gauravani Pacharya, a very brand new book that will be coming to the U.S. in 2 months. I will be here in Badger. So Gurudev has dedicated his life to presenting these books, and as his disciples, now we have an opportunity to serve his heart. And so I'd like to present to you, the assembled Vaishnavas over here, an opportunity for everybody to engage in a service that is pure of bliss. To serve Gurudev directly, to engage in direct Guru Seva. I'll tell you personally, Gurudev has given me so much mercy for trying to put together a book distribution program to share this enthusiasm with all the devotees. And he is giving so much mercy to all the devotees over here in this assembly. Everybody over here can feel his love. And so why don't we just take what he's giving to us and share it with whoever's close to us, our family, friends, do small propaganda, whatever's natural to our own way, and we can now present his book. So now GDP has a new program. Actually, it's 1 year old. But Gurudev is personally subsidizing book distribution, so now all the books are at print cost. So a book like something this big, that's $10 retail, will go for print cost at $5. Or The Way of Love, which is $2 retail, or $5, will go for 25 cents if you buy in bulk. Or Gauravani Pacharya, $6. Print costs, it will go retail.